joining us now from the Treasure Valley Waters Users Association. Roger Batt. Roger, thank you for joining us once again.
Kevin, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's great to be with you again.
You know, before we get to the issue involving water usage and possible flooding and everything else, I have to ask you this. You remember in 07 when home prices were going through the roof, when people were building, you know, people wondered if the state could keep up, and then all of a sudden we had the decline, we had the recession, you had cul-de-sacs unfinished, neighborhoods unfinished. Now we're seeing close to that record amount of growth. In fact, Canyon County homes valued now at an all-time high, Ada County just away from the all-time high. But my concern from my education with you is, you know, we have a finite amount of water, and if we keep bringing all these folks in, we keep building, how is that going to impact our finite supply of water?
That's a great question, Kevin. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we've actually been fully appropriated in this valley for decades now. There isn't any new water out there. So really, we have a shallow aquifer here in this valley. We don't have a recharge issue like the Upper Snake does. So, you know, punching wells in the aquifer could be something that folks could do. But what we could really benefit from is additional storage in this valley.
So do you think that that would be the state or the federal government that would allocate that, considering the state is arguably at 1.4 to 1.6? I'm sure in the Treasure Valley, our population, they say it's going to be one day the size of Denver. I don't know if you and I will be around to see that. Hopefully so. But, you know, we talk about roads, bridges, schools, but without water, we're not going to have a lot of folks here.
That's exactly right. In fact, our three reservoirs here, Arrow Rock Reservoir, Anderson Ranch, and Lucky Peak, we can only store about 1 million acre feet of water here. But we have about four times that amount coming through, especially in years like this, where it's a substantial amount of water coming through. So we can only store about 25% of our capacity. So we really could benefit from additional storage in this valley. There was an Arrow Rock feasibility study that was done by the Army Corps of Engineers. It took 15 years, spent $5 million in taxpayer dollars to do that. And then they came back to the Water Resource Board to say that, well, it's going to cost $2.4 billion. Yes, we would benefit from 138,000 additional acre-feet of storage, but it's not economically feasible to do that. But you ask our residents right now, would it be economically feasible for us to do it right now? Well, probably, because it would increase our storage capacity at least 14% and help reduce flooding in this valley as a result.
Well, and that's what people are talking about, and we will get to that issue. But the idea of, you know, all the building and such, are you concerned about, you know, one day tapping these limited resources where, you know, and we've talked about that before, where people that have homes are, you know, ceding their water rights to people that don't have homes right now.
Right, exactly. And, you know, not only with this being such a huge year for flooding, and I also want to say I'm very sympathetic to those out there who have been impacted by this. It's been a terrible thing for folks who have had homes in these areas, property has been destroyed and damaged, and some folks have had to vacate their homes. So it's a very serious matter. But with this being such a huge water year and also a big year for us to release water for flood control, for over 60 years, it's important to note that our reservoirs here have been operated under a operating plan. And the operating plan was worked out by the Treasure Valley Irrigators, the state of Idaho, and the federal government over 60 years ago, and was approved by Congress in 1954. And what this plan actually says is during the flood control season, which is actually right now, as you all know, open space is made in the reservoirs for flood control to capture high runoff and also to control these leases that are sent downriver as the river flows downriver to the Treasure Valley. If we didn't have the reservoirs in this calculated manner, we would have catastrophic flooding in this valley, Kevin. It would be devastating. So as the risk of flooding subsides during the flood control season later in the season, the reservoirs are then filled to hopefully allow maximum capacity for our irrigators to meet everybody's water right demands. And it's also important to note that historically, 7 out of every 10 years for the past 60 to 70 years or so have been years where flood control releases are needed. This year alone, we have had an incredible year for flood control releases, with the exception of flooding. We've had over 1 million acre-feet of water as of yesterday that's been released for flood control purposes. Compare that to 1999 when we had about 300,000 acre-feet of water released for flood control, and that was a pretty bad year itself. So we have a much higher year for flood control releases this year than normal years.
Right.
And it's important to note that this is water that's, you know, we're not able to store this water for future use. This is water that's actually sent down to the ocean, and it's to never be seen again. It's only going to downstream states. So, you know, what really, why should our listeners care about this?
Well, here's the hook. Here is the hook, and it was fascinating to me, Roger, to watch the story on Channel 7, which is something that the Treasure Valley Water Users Association has been advocating and trying to raise awareness about for years, and going to the legislature, going to the courts. Here's the hook.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thank you. And this is the hook. And the reason is that the state of Idaho has developed this theory that the water release for flood control should count against your irrigation water supply as water that's actually been used up. That's right. The state is saying that the water that cannot be stored for any kind of use that is sent downriver to prevent catastrophic flooding is now supposed to count against the amount of irrigation water you would normally receive during the hot summer months. And, you know, this theory really for a lot of our water user community defies any kind of common sense, Kevin.
It does. And, you know, quoting that Channel 7 story, which is echoing what you've said in print and broadcast and here on this station, we could actually have a record year when it comes to rainfall and flooding, and yet come August, we could be out of water.
That's exactly right.
For farmers and for our yards.
That's exactly right. That's really what the state's theory would do. You have a million acre feet of storage available, and you count a million acre feet of flood control releases against that storage. That leaves you zero irrigation storage water for the irrigation season. So once you're done with natural flows from the river, which is typically mid-June to the end of June, maybe first part of July, we are done with irrigation. So the only thing that's really saving our bacon at this point is the fact that this issue is in Idaho Supreme Court for a hearing, hopefully this fall.
And how do you see that that playing out? It seems common sense that water used for flood control would not be counted against us. What is the state's argument that to pretty much deny taxpayers that funded their water rights?
Well, the state keeps telling us that they want to make everybody happy, and I'm not really sure exactly what that means, Kevin. They've said that numerous times. They've also said that they've done this this water accounting program for the last 30 years the same way. Well, if that really were the case, then why are there legal claims against our storage water rights in this valley? Why have they made those claims to the validity of our longstanding water rights that exist, you know, in Arrow Rock, 1911 water rights, 1950 water rights with Anderson Ranch, and 1963 water rights with Lucky Peak Reservoir? What they wanted us to do is to subordinate these water rights to junior water right priority dates so that junior water right holders could receive first priority over senior water right holders. And that really flip-flops the prior appropriation doctrine that's in our Constitution that was put in our Constitution back in 1890 that says senior water right holders get water before junior water right holders do. That's the way it is in the West.
Right. Hence senior versus junior.
Yes.
So there's been no movement on the state. They say we're fine taking this to court.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we say, well, okay, we really didn't want to do this. It's really sad. Once you look at this, our irrigators were forced into litigation. They didn't want to spend the $1.2 million+ in attorney's fees that they've spent already. And this bill, by the way, goes to all of you who receive irrigation water from irrigation districts and canal and ditch companies. You guys are footing the bill on this. So if your assessments have gone up, that's probably a result as of why.
And when we take a look at what's going on here with the possible flooding, has it really been talked about much in the media? And look, it's not like local media companies have a lot of depth, okay? You have two or three reporters, they go out and it's, you know, it's almost like triage. What's the story of the day? Boom, 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 and they move on. But you've been here, fifth-generation Idahoan.
Yes.
Have you seen anything like this?
I have not, no. And in fact, the people I talk to say that this flooding in this valley is comparable to, I've heard 1943. Of course, I wasn't around during that time. But I've heard it's comparable to the 1940s. And during the 1940s, really, is when they started talking about the need for a flood control agreement and the need for a reservoir operating plan. And it was also during that time where they were constructing Anderson Ranch Reservoir, which is our largest reservoir out of the three dams that we have, which actually completed in 1950. And, you know, actually having those dams in place is a real benefit to us. I know some folks may look at it and say, wow, we sure have a lot of water down here, and we don't see much end in sight with the 2 million acre feet that's yet to come down from the mountains. But really, you know, having those dams in place really does help prevent flooding in this valley, and it's a good thing that we do have them.
You know, it's amazing, though, folks that have come either from California or east of the Great River, the intricate irrigation system that we have. I mean, we all take it for granted that, you know, you turn on the sprinklers and they work, except at the Miller House when the valve went bad and it was Old Faithful. However, it's amazing when you see the canals, you see the intricacies, and you see the technology that that was used to make it is, you know, 50 to 100 years old.
It is amazing. You know, when reclamation projects began here in 1902, and then you had Lake Lowell that was constructed in 1905, it's 170,000 acre feet. You know, there's 1,500 miles of canals and laterals between Boise and Parma. And the foresight that our forefathers had on this to actually have irrigation storage to help us make it through the irrigation season, knowing that we would exhaust our river flow rights by the tail end of June, it was just amazing.
So let's talk a little bit about where we are with the story of the day, the flooding. You've had a chance to look at some of the CFS. You've looked at Glenwood. You've looked in Parma. What are you seeing, Roger?
Yes, well, from what we're hearing, obviously, there's 2 million plus acre feet of water still up in the mountains in the form of snow and ice, Kevin.
And we've already gotten rid of 1 million.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot more to come. And then 1 million, of course, acre feet of flood control releases, which have exhausted our storage rights, according to the state's theory and legal claims that they're making. Looking at some numbers yesterday, the Boise River is currently flowing, as of yesterday, at about 8,800 cubic feet per second. And this is at Glenwood Bridge. Now, the threshold is supposed to be 6,500 cubic feet per second at Glenwood Bridge. So that's a lot more than what the threshold is supposed to be. If you go down to Middleton area, it's 7,900 cubic feet per second. So bottom line, basically, this is a very significant amount of water that's flowing down. And I've heard speculation that we could see 10,000 cubic feet per second at Glenwood Bridge. We could see the Boise River at 16,000 CFS. These are all possibilities. Probability, I'm not quite sure. I'm not a meteorologist or forecaster, but,
sure.
You know, with the amount of, if we have high temperatures and a lot of water that comes down and it has to be coming down here at some time soon, we just hope it doesn't all come down at once.
So then if you're the Corps of Engineers, you have to pick your poison, right?
You really do. You know, there's a role between the Bureau of Reclamation and the Corps of Engineers when it comes to flood control releases. The Bureau of Reclamation does all the forecasting and modeling. These are basically rule curves that they do through mathematical equations where they forecast and model how much snow is going to be melting when the storms come in and how much water is actually going to be entering the reservoirs. And then they let the Army Corps of Engineers know what this looks like, and then the Army Corps is actually the entity that releases water for flood control or shuts it off and lets the reservoirs refill during different periods of time during the flood control season.
Well, many people have wondered why we don't have the reservoirs higher than they are right now.
Right, and the reason is we have a flood control agreement of 1953, and we have to keep a minimum of 300,000 acre-feet of open space as a result of that. If we did not do that, we would have a potential to breach the dams, and we don't want dam collapse like we saw in Teton Dam several decades ago in eastern Idaho.
So even though the capacity may be this, to maintain the structural integrity, we have to be below that.
Absolutely. We have to be at least a minimum of 700,000 acre-feet fill. And so they're actually a maximum, I should say, during flood control years and seasons. So we have to leave that open space, and as water enters that open space, it's being passed through. It's being released downriver.
Sure.